And we've got four bills on our agenda for public hearing today, and I will begin by opening the public hearing on Senate Bill 158 and ask that Peter Threlkeld from the Secretary of State's office come forward, please.
Chairman Metzger, members of the committee, my name is Peter Threlkeld. I'm the director of the Corporation Division for the Secretary of State's office, and it is my pleasure to testify before you today on Senate Bill 158. The bill is very simple. It simply lowers the fee for nonprofit corporations to register as a business in Oregon. The fee is currently $50, and that was established most recently in the closing days of the 2003 legislative session under House Bill 3656, and I believe that was one of a package of what were called the go-home bills at the time. And the intent of House Bill 3656 was to raise $11.5 million from business registration fees to be transferred to the general fund. To date, in the first year of implementation under House Bill 3656, we've transferred over $10 million. With 5 months remaining in the biennium, we expect that we'll transfer a total of $13 million, so about $1.5 million more than anticipated. One of the results of the prior bill was that it hit nonprofits especially hard, and especially the small nonprofits. What we've seen is in 2000, the fee for a nonprofit was $10, and by 2004, it had gone to $50, and that was a 500% increase over that period of time. Most of the nonprofits that we work with in Oregon are small volunteer organizations that have very limited resources, and a great many of them also provide services that are either complementary or very similar to services that the state general fund supports. The types of groups that we heard from in the last year were parent clubs, neighborhood associations, rural library groups, recreational groups. We also heard from groups that support orphans, bereaved parents, divorced parents, and even groups that support widows and children of fallen police officers. And then there was even one group that maintains an Oregon Pioneer Cemetery. Many of the nonprofits wrote in and talked to us about the impact of the fee increase, that while it was only $30 a year, many of them, they're in the business to be there long term, and so this is $30 this year and next year and the year after. The money, while it may not seem a significant amount to us, many of them said that it really was, and that was money that they weren't able to spend in their communities or fulfilling their missions. So we even heard from a few that the increase caused them to decide that they could no longer continue operations. In addition, several of the nonprofits that we've talked to have recently sent in letters of support for Senate Bill 158, and those are in the packets of information that you have in front of you. There is a fiscal impact to Senate Bill 158. In the 05-07 biennium, it will reduce general fund revenues by approximately $900,000. That'll go to $1.2 million in the 07-09 biennium. However, another way to look at this is that the fees that are being reduced will conversely be spent out in the communities by the nonprofits, providing support to their local communities and the groups that they support. Secretary of State Bill Bradley strongly believes that it's in Oregon's best interest to reduce the burden on nonprofit corporations, and he urges your support of Senate Bill 158. I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to testify, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Mr. Threlkeld. How long have you been with the department?
A little over 3 years.
All right. I was just wondering. A couple of questions, first of all. I was looking at the nonprofit definition in ORS to which this bill is applicable. And you've talked about a number of the nonprofits here, and I think your points are very valid with some of these very, very small groups. But let me talk about some other ones. Is United Way covered under the definition of this bill?
They are.
Providence Health System, would they be covered under the nonprofit?
They would be.
Okay. Have you thought about how we might differentiate from some of the examples you've used and others who may not be particularly burdened by that $25 fee?
Chairman Metzger, we have given that some thought. One of the things that we record the type of nonprofit and when the nonprofit registers with us, and there are basically three types. There are mutual benefit, and most often those would be clubs or associations or groups that have a common interest. Public benefit, and these are the ones that are most commonly known as charities, but I believe a lot of the ones that you just mentioned will fall into that charity category. And then there are also religious corporations. Mm-hmm. So to distinguish on the ability to pay, we'd probably have to come up with some mechanism to have some financial assets reported. That's not currently done. But that is something that we could look at doing.
Okay. Is this anticipated in the governor's budget?
It's not built into the governor's budget, no.
Okay. And has this issue, because of the significant general fund, has this been addressed in Ways and Means? I mean, are they aware of this in the Ways and Means process, too?
We're not scheduled for Ways and Means until the end of February.
Okay. That's my questions. Other senators' questions. Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on that very same point. If a nonprofit would, is there anything in statute that if a nonprofit couldn't pay the $50, that there is a waiver? I mean, just sending a letter and saying we cannot afford this. Are there?
Chairman
Metzger. Is that just a bureaucratic nightmare?
Senator Montes Anderson. In ORS 56, the Secretary of State does have authority to waive any of the fees. So that is something that we currently have the ability to do. As a practice, we haven't just carte blanche waived fees across the board for a whole class of registrants. So, but on a case-by-case basis, we have been able to do that in the past.
Other questions? Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at your memo that you provide us, in our office memo, and I'm, interested that now the Secretary of State is interested in helping these nonprofits. And I'm particularly interested in reasons for the bill 1 and 2. I've been playing here with my pen and crossing off words and trying to actually insert the phrase small business. Robbing Peter to pay Paul is what you're doing here. And that's what the words that you provide. And it's pretty easy for me to cross off nonprofits, put in their small, struggling businesses that support the general fund and actually help the economy. And if I go up to your first one, your first reason for the bill, about the fees being unfair, and then you, it looks like that I'm seeing the true intent of the Secretary of State, who believes businesses can pass along the pain. I'm curious, why don't we apply this fee reduction to small business, too? Do you think that would give this a little more purpose?
Chairman Metzger, Senator Atkinson, that is one of the things. We had considered that, when House Bill 3656, prior to its implementation, one of the things that we had expected, we had talked to or heard from quite a number of our customers, whether they are in private business or nonprofit business, and there was quite a bit of opposition to the fee increase. We expected that there would be a drop-off in registrations, that actually hasn't materialized. We continue to have more registrations in pretty much every category with the exception of assumed business names and a lot of the mom-and-pop small businesses. That's how they operate, either as a sole proprietor or a general partnership. And they may choose to register a business name. And we've seen roughly about 4,000 fewer of those in the state over the last year than what we were running before the fee increase. So we had given that some consideration. We decided to just go ahead with the nonprofit bill at this time. And primarily the rationale was there seemed to be a number of groups that lobby in support of the business community, and on the nonprofit side there really isn't any organized group that focuses on support for nonprofits.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
Chair. I don't care who lobbies for who. I started a nonprofit last year, and I started two companies. So I paid these excessive fees, and I think that it's ridiculous. So why don't you just be fair, and let's lower it for small business, too? I think that would be terrific. I mean, if you really, you know, want to help out the small business, don't rely on lobbyists to actually come up here and advocate that the fees get reduced. Let's just do it ourselves. Let's amend this bill and put small business in there. What do you say?
Chairman Metzger, Senator Atkinson, we'd be very amenable to that if you'd like to work with us. We'd like to work with you on including small businesses.
Right. Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Can the committee draft up an amendment?
I think, Senator, if you would like to draft one up, you're certainly free to do that.
All right. I'll get right on it.
Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question I have is I just want to make this clear. The bill last session, House Bill 3656, passed as a revenue increase to help support the general fund. And so my guess is that the revenue piece of that, it doesn't take Secretary of State's office all of that increase to maintain these records. I mean, there's a certain amount that it costs your department to do the book, you know, all the administrative work that's required. And that is what, $25 out of the $50? Is that right?
$20.
20 out of the 50. So then they transferred the excess to the general fund. So what had been a user fee to basically administer the records that your department keeps became a tax increase to help support the general fund.
Chairman Metzger, Senator Starr, yes, that's essentially correct.
And Secretary of State Bill Bradbury and you and your staff have been the recipients of a number of letters from nonprofits and others protesting the increased fees. And so that's why Secretary of State has asked this bill to be drafted, and you're here today.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No one else has signed up to testify. Would anybody else like to testify at the moment on this bill? Okay, we'll hold this for a while and chat about it. I close the public hearing on Senate Bill 158, and we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 81. And the chairman is going to discuss for us. So, Chairman Beyer, if you would like to come forward. Welcome back. This might become a habit.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Lee Beyer, chairman of the Oregon Public Utility Commission. Have three bills for you today. And, boy, I'm not sure. You look like you have way too much fun today. So we'll give it a shot. First one that we have up for you is Senate Bill 81, which is one we've introduced, and it has to do with giving the commission some flexibility in actually giving utilities some flexibility in rate setting. What the bill does is this: it modifies the existing ORS, which is 757.310. It's a statute that prevents unjust discrimination in public utility rates. And what the change we're proposing would allow some modification to that so that customers' usage and setting rates can be considered and we can get into some demand management. Essentially what the bill does is it allows the utility to recognize that if the customer is doing something to save, you know, save customers money in general, they're cutting back on the rates conservation, or in the case of a large industrial user, for example, if they would shave their peak load in order so we didn't, the utility didn't have to go out for another rate, it allows some flexibility for the PUC and the utility to work together and set a differential rate to encourage that. And the end result that we're looking for is flexibility that we believe will end up saving customers money in the long term. So that's the simple explanation of the bill. I think it is a very simple bill, and I don't believe there's any opposition to it.
Thank you,
so,
Chairman.
Yeah.
Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So could you cite a specific example where this would work, where a user would use, what, a different form of...
I can cite an example of where it could be. There isn't any
could
now.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Demand response, let's say it's a fancy term that essentially says that if, let's use an example of a large industrial user, has an ability to cut back during peak hours of time, that they're able to cut back that usage. The utility could work with them and say, if you're not going to put a demand on us at that point, because that makes us go out and buy a big chunk of energy and pay for that, we then could offer you a discounted rate, or we could offer you the opportunity to have a variable rate.
Gotcha.
In reference to that. So that's essentially what it means. Right now, we have to, the requirement of the law is that to be non-discriminatory, they have to be set equally for everybody, and it doesn't allow that. Recognition is there's some times when it may be in the interest of customers to allow the utility to do that. Does that help?
Yep, that explains it. Thank you.
Good question. Senator Stark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question I have is, with this potentially the example that you provided, Senator Montes Anderson, would apply to both residential and commercial users potentially, correct?
It could, yes.
Interesting.
Follow up then? Or
now you're going to get me in trouble here.
Is that even feasible, or would you be working with a sort of a minimum or amount of energy usage? Or
feasible, theoretically feasible, yeah. Time of use rates, that kind of thing, yeah. You could do that. Whether it's practical, I'm not sure. Other states have experimented with that. So there's potential there.
Any questions? Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any other witnesses at this time on Senate Bill 81? Okay. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 81 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 84. And since you are already in position, Mr. Chairman, I'll let you proceed.
All righty. This one, Senate Bill 84, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, deals with another really simple thing called net metering. And essentially what this does, net metering means that if you have a generator, if you put a solar cell on your roof, I'm trying to do that. If you put a solar cell on your roof, you're generating electricity part of the time, and when sun isn't shining, you're not. You're taking power from the utility off the grid. It essentially allows the measurement of the difference of that is what the concept is. What this law does is it makes a couple of changes. One, it currently there is a limit on the size at 25 kilowatts that we can do these things, and this would change that minimum to allow the commission to set rules that would allow to go larger than that, recognize some of these. We had recently had an example of a facility down in Klamath Falls, a Pepsi company, I believe it was, that put a big solar array on it, and we weren't able to qualify the whole thing because they went over the size limit. So this would allow that. The second piece that it does is it changes the definition and adds, currently it applies to solar, wind, hydro, and fuel cells, and will allow us to do other forms of alternative energy, such as biomass, which is consistent with what we're talking about here. So, in bottom line, what it does is it helps us get at some of the goals that the legislature have set to facilitate development of renewable energy resources, to improve the reliability of electrical service, and to provide more choices for customers. So that's the goal of this. It's hopefully I'm not overly simplifying it, but it's not a real complicated idea.
Questions for the chairman?
Mr. Chair, so you're really working to try to save users money.
It's to provide choices and perhaps save money. But we found that through the portfolio standards with Pacific Core and PGE that people like those options that are out there, even sometimes if it costs more money. But another benefit that you get out of it is to the extent we diversify the generation capacity across the area, you get it closer to the user, and you get increased reliability of the system. So these are, it's really, you know, I don't want to overplay this. These are small changes, but it's moving in the right direction.
Mr. Meyer, do you see any negative impact on small customers at all?
I don't see any negative impact on customers at all. It's an option.
Other questions for the chairman? Okay, thank you very much. Jeff Bissonette and John Miller, please.
Mr. Chair, is it all right if I speak first on behalf of Senator Shields?
I was going to bring you next.
So, we'll
but this is an organized triumvirate. Okay.
Will you?
Please.
Someone sit down.
Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Sarah Chifo. I'm the legislative aide for Senator Frank Shields.
Okay, we'll proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Senators, it's my pleasure here today to speak on behalf of Senator Shields. He apologizes he couldn't be here to speak on his own behalf. The Senator has requested legislation that also addresses net metering, which is why we asked to speak today. From conversations with representatives from OSEA, who are seated beside me, Senator Shields has come to believe that the changes to the system ought to go farther than Senate Bill 84 does. Both Senate Bill 84 and the Senator's proposed legislation, which as of yet does not have an LC draft number, it is pending in Legislative Council. Both of these proposals amend the net metering bill that was passed in the 1999 session. Mr. Byers gone over what Senate Bill 84 does in its essence. The difference that Senator Shields' legislation goes is to take it two steps farther. One is that it raises the ceiling of power generation that Mr. Byer spoke about from 25 kilowatts to 250 kilowatts. This is in response to both updated technology since the 99 session and also to allow for more commercial applications, as Mr. Byer touched on. It would also suggest to extend the 250 kilowatt ceiling now to a statewide standard, whereas previously and under current legislation, it just applies to PUC's coverage area, not to municipalities or PUDs. So I've asked that OSEA colleagues join us here today to discuss the details of these proposals, if it so pleases the chair.
Yes, please proceed. We do.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Bissonette, and actually representing the Fair and Clean Energy Coalition, which is a statewide collaboration of public interest groups, consumer groups, environmental organizations, human service agencies that have focused on a variety of energy issues for the past several years. The Oregon Solar Energy Industry Association, whose director you'll hear from in a moment, is a member of that coalition. And we are, and also the Renewable Northwest Project, who took the lead in negotiating the original net metering bill in 1999. He's also a member of our coalition, and so we have thought at time that it's time to sort of take up the issue of net metering and push it further than we were able to get in 1999, and acknowledge some of the changes in technology and that are now available that weren't available in 1999. And so we are in a position that Senate Bill 84 is fine as far as it goes, but we would like a broader discussion around some of the issues for net metering, and believe that when Senator Shields' bill sort of comes before this committee, that will have that opportunity. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to John Miller with OSEA that can talk about some of the changes briefly that we see and some of the larger issues that we'd like to discuss.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is John Miller. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Solar Energy Industries Association. And as Jeff and Sarah have said, our primary purpose here is not to oppose Senate Bill 84. I pretty much agree with what they're trying to do there. But we would like to have a broader discussion on net metering in general, and that's essentially what our proposal with Senator Shields is going to be. The current proposal that is made only for investor-owned utilities through the PUC, it creates a little bit of a problem with the industry. It creates kind of a patchwork of different levels of different limits around the state from different utilities, and that presents a little bit of a problem with the industry. Right now in the industry worldwide, we're seeing technology advancements and systems that are much larger than they've ever been produced in the past. So the 25 kilowatt limit just simply isn't good enough anymore. California has a 1 megawatt limit. New Jersey has a 2 megawatt limit. These systems have been proven all over the world, in Japan and Germany and California, New Jersey, and many other places in the United States. And it's time that we talk about raising that limit here as well. So the primary reason that we're interested in is having one of the aspects is having a more uniform limit that around the state that the industry can address, and so that we'll have a better idea of what we need to do to get those installed. It's too hard when a system is above a net metering limit to go through qualifying facility procedures or independent power producer procedures when all that's necessary is net metering.
Okay, I just have a question on the bill as written. I understand your position of wanting to change some of the floors on the net metering standard, but in this bill, it would seem to be permissive, though, anyway, to move up anyway. But you just like to have it defined more specifically for a comfort level or feeling that this would focus the PUC more on that area? Or
We don't mind having the PUC having the ability to raise it above 250 kilowatts, but we don't want the bottom floor to be 25 kilowatts. We would rather see that raised to something that reflects the state of the industry today. Even 250 kilowatts is probably going to have to be revisited in another 5 or 6 years, or maybe sooner, because the technology is changing so quickly.
Well, and let me ask the question I asked the chairman, and that's to say, by fiat, we have moved the floor up. What impact might that have on small users' generators?
That has no impact whatsoever on small users.
Even if you move the floor up.
Again, Mr. Chair, as Commissioner Beyer said, this is a choice that a customer, you know, decides, oh, I want to put a PV panel or a micro hydro system or something on my building, or to you know, there's some agricultural applications as well. You could put either a micro hydro or a solar cell to a pump and to an irrigation pump to power that. The pump is still connected to the grid, but some of its power can be produced from this solar cell or micro hydro turbine. But it's the customer's choice as to whether or not they want to put it on. But that choice can be facilitated by having a net metering policy that recognizes kind of the state of the art these days that is much different than it was in 1999. I think from both a public interest sort of policy perspective and an industry perspective, rather than sort of allowing the PUC to look at it on a case-by-case basis in the territory that it regulates, and have kind of what John talked about as sort of the patchwork of standards by publicly owned utilities. Let's have a statewide standard, and then if we still want to give the PUC the ability to go above that statewide standard, then in the areas where they regulate, which is a good chunk of the state, that's fine. But let's make sure that the floor statewide is indeed statewide and is at a high enough level that again recognizes the systems that are on the market in an affordable way today to both residential and commercial customers, so they can take advantage of the net metering program.
Questions? Senator Montanus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I need a little 101 on this one. I understand investor-owned utilities, and then we have non-investor-owned utilities. And can you explain who's who and how? I would think that the non-investor-owned utilities would be opposed to this because it decreases the revenue that would be coming into them because they don't want a net meter.
Mr. Chair, if I could answer that. With regard to decreasing revenue, it would be kind of like saying you're not allowed to turn the lights off in your house to decrease the amount of electricity that you use, for someone to say that you're not allowed to put a solar electric system on your roof to decrease the revenue. So decreasing the revenue is not an issue. There are some other issues that they may be interested in, but decreasing the revenue is not one of them.
Can you say what the other issues are then?
They may be interested in now, if you have a limit that's 250 kilowatts, they may think, well, I'm a homeowner, I'm going to go put a 250 kilowatt system on my house, and I'm going to produce all this extra electricity, and I'm going to make lots of money by doing that. Well, that's nonsense. It would be far too expensive. You could never put one on a house that would do that. And we actually have some language in the bill that we're going to propose that would just make that a virtual non-issue, that someone would try to oversize a system and go outside of what net metering, the intent of net metering. And net metering is only intent, is one of the main ones, is to offset your energy use. It's not meant to create a bunch of independent power producers out there making money. That's a separate issue.
Okay.
Other questions for this group? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
John Miller, PacifiCorp. Welcome.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller, I'm here today before you representing PacifiCorp in support of Senate Bill 84. PacifiCorp, which operates as Pacific Power in Oregon, is a regulated multi-state utility that serves 517,000 customers in Oregon. We are in support of Senate Bill 84. We recognize the benefits of net metering policies that encourage the use of renewable energy technologies and provide greater incentives for conservation. I would like to just comment on some of the points that were made before. I know Commissioner Beyer mentioned the Pepsi Cola plant down in southern Oregon. That is that was in our service territory. This particular bill allows examples like those to take it to the Public Utility Commission on a project-by-project basis, customer, and actually exceed that 25-kilowatt level. And we're supportive of that. We think that helps businesses, commercial, residential customers. I think the venue of having it at the Public Utility Commission is the proper venue. There's a reliability issue, a safety issue in net metering, and obviously the system when you raise those limits, the system can only handle so much. I think the Public Utility Commission is the proper venue to make those decisions, and we support this bill wholeheartedly. I had not seen the concept that I just heard about, so we'll comment on that once it's introduced, but we would support the bill and ask that you move it forward.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Hill? Okay, thank you. Because she's in the audience, I'm going to ask that Teresa Miller come forward. See what the 800-pound gorilla thinks about this bill. Not you personally. Welcome. In your category as a representative of PGE, I just happened to see you in the audience, and I figured you would love to comment on this bill, and I would be curious where Portland General Electric would be on Senate Bill 84.
Love to comment. Thank you for the opportunity. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Teresa Miller with Portland General Electric, and we support the bill and think it's fine if you go ahead and move it forward. We have no concerns.
Okay. Succinct. Thank you.
What does TPG think of?
I don't represent TPG.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Members, what I think we'll do, we're trying to streamline government here, as the chairman of revenue did this morning, and if there's a potential for multiple bills rather than going through the process again, what I would ask that Senator Shields and Jeff and others in the next 7 days, talk over your concepts with Chairman Beyer and others to see if there's some ways we might incorporate those into Senate Bill 84 rather than try to look at this issue and come up with language in another bill that we might decide to like and find out it's in conflict with the bill that's in progress. So why don't we kind of make that decision first, and then we'll bring this bill back one way or the other and move forward to that time. So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 84 and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 171. And I have a funny feeling that it might be Chairman Beyer again. Well, look at that, huh? It's a dynasty. You're a dynasty now.
Let's see if we can get one done.
Welcome again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record on this bill, again, I am Lee Beyer, the chairman of the Oregon Public Utility Commission. And Senate Bill 171 is our bill, and I'm embarrassed to say is that it corrects a mistake that we made back when I was on your side of the table, passing Senate Bill 1149. We inadvertently, when we changed the law regarding to public purposes, by removing a requirement that sellers of it's called purpose, small generators selling power back. We changed the definition and made them, by definition, public utilities subject to regulation. We don't want to do that. It doesn't make sense to do that. And essentially what this does is corrects that error and defines them as not a public utility. So it's just a change in definition. I don't think there's any opposition to this, sir. I'd be surprised if there's any competing bills.
Okay. The bill is straightforward, but there may be questions about it. Any questions? Okay. Anybody else wish to testify on Senate Bill 171? Chairman Beyer, I'm going to hold this bill for a little bit. It's a very broad relating clause, and I want to wait a few weeks. So,
I'm afraid of that, Mr.
With
Chair.
That, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 171 with nothing more to come before the committee. We're adjourned.
Thank you.